Mr. Project is opening for the pickleball court. Any dates on that?
All right, it's 4:00, and I'll call this meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge allegiance. Ready to begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Oksana, Frank.
Present.
Brenda.
Yes.
Brian. Charlie. I'm here. Richard.
Here.
And Mitch.
Ditto, right here.
Welcome. Would you like, do we have a speaker, a public speaker today?
Larry, did you want to speak, or?
Did you have anything to say today?
No, I just came to.
Any public comments? No? Okay.
Okay.
I just had a couple of questions, and maybe those got answered.
All righty. Okay, moving on to the approval of the draft minutes from the meeting on March 21st. Do I have a motion? I'm going to take a motion to approve the meeting. Okay, Roxana, the first?
Second.
All right. Moving on to, yes, I'm sorry, all in favor? Okay, one of these things, and opposed? All right, moving on to number two is to establish a subcommittee to research recreational activities provided by surrounding cities. Charlie had put this on the agenda, and I was wondering if we should move this to another meeting.
If he's not here, I would suggest that you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not here. So
I'm sorry.
So we can make a, who would like, I'll make a motion to move it to the next meeting.
I second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
I'm opposed. Okay, and I actually, am I stepping on your toes, the staff report, am I supposed to be reading these, or is it Mitch that's supposed to be reading these, Lisa?
No, you're fine.
Okay. Grant writing consultants update.
Jim, briefly mm-hmm. on that particular area, so you are interested, or I don't know how it got brought up, I don't know the history of it or anything like that, but what's the update on that is that, as you are probably told, the city's working on getting a company. They're actually getting three different companies. It's kind of like a shop around type thing, so whichever the needs are, whatever their specialties are, is whichever one of those companies that we will utilize. And they should hopefully be feeding the city, servicing the city sometime in the middle of May, so that we'll have another option or another resource there in order to go after some of these grants, highlight what they are. Hopefully, because we in Parks and Recreation really need that mm-hmm. funding, which is starting to come back around again. For a while, there weren't that many fundings for resources, et cetera, and so forth. So these companies are supposed to be contracted with the city sometime in, I think it's the second meeting in May, with city council approval, of course. So that's the approach, is to be able to have a little bit more assistance there in not only identifying the grants that are available out there, but also in writing proposals and applications and things of that nature, which we just don't have those resources.
So they would be working for the whole city and the different departments in the city?
Yes, this is on the citywide level.
Okay.
Right now, the department with the most, because the most opportunities are there for grant funding, is the police department, which just has a tremendous amount of money that they get, because there's a lot of grants for law enforcement, probation, things of that nature, which is their mission as a department.
Mm-hmm.
Ours are fewer, but hopefully with these resources we can at least identify some places to go. And then we just don't have anybody to write them.
Yeah.
Or at least you're looking at him.
I brought that up to Jim, I think, last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, is everybody aware of the Bobby Vega Park?
Mm-hmm.
His wife, she wrote a grant. Is that true?
Jim's wife?
No,
Bobby Vega's wife. I was going to say Jim's wife to him.
And I spoke with her at a council meeting. She said she wrote a grant for that part. And she's willing to participate in grant writing for the city for parks. Maybe we should contact her instead of getting a company. I mean, we cannot actually concentrate on just the parks alone. I mean, I know citywide we do need it. But I think this is the parks department. We should get a grant writer just for the parks. I mean, it's worth a try to bring her in the meeting next time. And I mean, I could probably arrange that.
That's always an option. This is citywide, and this is an opportunity that the city's been working on for quite some time. It's got the support of city manager.
Can we have both?
Working on that. You certainly can, and it's something that if we address particular grants and things of that nature, and that she has some sort of the expertise or background and that kind of stuff, you can always work on things that way.
Yeah.
Historically, I haven't found that to be the case to where there's any kind of consistency or anything like that when you go out and get a volunteer to do something or other. And sometimes there's some roadblocks because they're not in the system, so they can't get certain things done. But certainly I would never overlook something like that. If somebody has the skill set or the ability to, and certainly the background or their history for doing that kind of stuff. So most of those kinds of agreements or arrangements, we just make sure that you have credible sources. And so I'm not saying that isn't one.
Yeah, I met her a couple times. I knew Bobby back in the day. But I think we should bring that up. I can probably arrange that. Maybe she can come and speak maybe next meeting.
It's not something that you have to formally approve or not approve, but you're welcome to make that if it adds some sort of credibility to that process. I think that's probably one-on-one with Jim to figure out where that fit would be best.
Right.
But we certainly don't want to step on this what's already in motion as a citywide element. Not saying that, I guess that would be a supplement.
That's worth a try.
But not the exception to, I can advise that at least, but yeah, we can use any resources we can get.
Right.
I checked into it, and someone was telling me that they have grant writers that don't charge, like they will not say charge the city per se, but they'll do is write the grant, and if they get approved, and then they get a small fraction of the actual grant, so it actually never comes out of the city's pocket at all.
There are some nonprofit groups that usually deal with it that way, and they're usually a nonprofit group. And what you're referring to is should it be something that they wish to take on? You know, that's one option, one hurdle you have to get over. Then they'll write into the grant development dollars that many grants allow for developing that kind of grant, for doing the design work and things of that nature. So yes, those are always opportunities. If you have resources like that one, I would suggest that maybe we reference that to Jim. We have discussed over the last 5 to 10 years certain projects and things that we want to do. Most of the time, grants are not going to fund personnel, and they're not usually going to fund program type things. You're on your own for that, and we find creative ways in Parks and Recreation to make that happen. But certainly for the capital projects and so forth, which is what helps set the direction for many of our programs. You know, if you have indoor gymnasium, you're setting the direction for the types of things you can do and stuff like that. So that's what I'm talking about. Those kinds of dollars are out there. We just need to find them and write them. And if you find somebody or a company or something like that, and feed it to Jim, because we can tie it into other plans that we might have, because we need, again, all the resources we can get.
And I'm sure Jim's pursuing strategic partnerships with the assembly member Reyes is it Connie Lieber? That's right.
To some degree, he would be, but most of that would go through the city manager, usually. And they stay on top. They, you know, they connect with that kind of element. It's like right now you see a lot of stuff from the state of California regarding gas money, gas taxes, that kind of stuff, which has always been out there, but it's starting to increase. And like I said, a lot of the stuff with law enforcement's out there. So obviously the police chief and then public works would be related to those projects. Now, in our department, most of the CIP or the capital improvement projects have gone underneath the direction of public works because we just didn't have the resources. But that doesn't relieve us of what we need to do, because we want to make sure we funnel that towards parks and rec type facilities, you know, because the maintenance of those facilities have now come underneath the direction of Public Works. As you guys probably have been told, the title of the department is Parks, Recreation, and Community Services. Technically, the parks end of things is what we think of as maintenance, usually, and that's underneath Public Works now. So we just have to get that right connection. But certainly Jim has got his feelers in every one of these types. But when it comes to the legislators, he's got just so much. Before he oversteps the bounds of the city manager, who's his supervisor, but we certainly do, you know, you invite them to the big events and all that kind of stuff, because you want to nurture that along, you make sure they're connected. And yes, our Parks and Recreation Director should stay just as connected as the city manager.
Absolutely. And with her absence, does that affect any possible dollars that could be coming in? Or
you're asking me for just for my personal opinion?
Yes.
And I would say probably not, because who's in the acting role is Terry.
Okay.
She's been the assistant city manager for enough time there that they're still connected.
Okay.
If that makes sense, because she primed and so I don't think she's going to let anything go.
Okay. Let's not make sure that we're not losing nothing here that we could possibly be gaining.
No, not at all.
Okay.
It's just like, you know, not too long ago, it seems long ago now, it's like the extension on Paris Hill was because of that. At that point in time, she was the city of Fontana's council member. She became board of supervisors in San Bernardino. What's her name? Well, that's pretty bad.
The one that just
was going to use as an example that we got the extension from Paris Hill because of her support with funding through the county, you know, that kind of stuff. So all that stuff exists. We just have to keep tapping into it. And I'm going to throw out my little bandwagon plug. The Parks and Recreation is the little man on the totem pole. You know, we just
I know that firsthand.
If you know what I mean. So it takes a lot of communication. It takes a lot of getting out there, and it takes just a lot of just prodding and nagging.
Yeah, it's a shame that it's a shame that it is the low man on the totem pole, because it has such an effect on so many people's lives.
Absolutely.
I would be here for 3 hours with you and told you what our benefit is out there, because I feel it from my heart.
Poor Lisa.
My master's is in public administration, and my degree is in recreation administration, and I'm a professional. I just believe that, and I'm a Christian, and I believe the Bible's about helping people, and I can't think of any profession that does that, that makes me more spiritual. I mean, I'm not here to preach, but, you know, we're teaching kids how to swim and saving their lives, and we're taking teens off the street and playing sports and building their health. Our kids are going to live 4 years less than us because of this youth obesity problem, and we have everything from that, and we're feeding the grandma, and I'm saying shame on all of you for letting your parents not, you know, socializing with them. We're trying to build their brains with all the different senior center activities we're doing. We're saving lives, and we're extending life's value to people. We do all that kind of stuff. We're public safety ourselves,
right.
You know.
And quality of life.
And again, I could go on and on.
Does anybody else have anything they'd like to add to the grant writing discussion?
Could we keep it active on the and maybe bring it back up to the next?
We could add put it on the agenda.
That way it stays in our
room.
Yeah. Because that's something that I think we should actively pursue.
Uh-huh. Would you like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we
second.
What was the notion?
That we continue the discussion on the next commission meeting.
Okay.
May I just say that, but redefine this. This was about the grant writing consultants that we have. So what is it that you're proposing?
That we expand the conversation to explore different options that we could possibly
more ideas, more
pursue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I can see if I can get her to speak here.
Did you want to second that?
A second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed?
Yeah, she's a director of UCC, the Urban Conservation Corps, and that's all grant writing. She does all the grant writing for that, so she's very versed in grant writing. Yeah.
All right. Okay, moving on to discuss the potential for concert series at the Roosevelt Bowl.
Jim only told me that this was introduced to this meeting so that you guys can further talk about the ideas.
I actually introduced it. I've been
okay.
talking about it since I've been here,
okay.
since I first came to the commission. Well, my proposal would be just to have a concert series, like a Sunday in the Park kind of thing, where for, let's say, 6 weeks, that every Sunday would be a different kind of music, and families could come in and enjoy a nice Sunday afternoon listening to music at the Roosevelt Bowl. And trying to figure out ways to do that so the cost might be prohibitive, but do that maybe using some of the youth orchestras or, you know, bands that are just starting up. I'm not sure. I've never done this before, but
would they charge?
The parks, as far as I know, you cannot charge admission or anything with the parks. Is that true?
No, not necessarily. It depends upon what it is that you're talking about.
Oh, really?
Sure.
If it's sponsored by the park department, you could actually charge for it?
Yes, by all means. That's the only... Just a little bit of Parks and Rec 101. If you're referring to special events or special event type activities and so forth, well, one of the guiding points for us there is City Council's what we call the fee resolution. So that helps guide a lot of that with how we decide to use our park space, whether it's a basketball court or an open set of grass, or in this case, an amphitheater that's outside. So most special events are done in a cooperative with the community anyhow, because it's not something that we would typically say that every community member wants their tax dollars spent on. It's not that we're not all probably in agreement of that. That's probably why we're on the board. But that's why it's called a special event. So it has a special interest related to it. So maybe that public property, and let's just take the case of this amphitheater at Roosevelt Bowl, we might decide to do a summer concert series, but then you go to the local car dealership or something of that nature, say, how would you like to sponsor one of the bands that we have there? Because those bands are going to cost anywhere from like $1,000 to $3,000 or something like that. You might be able to get something more local for $600 or $800, you know, or something for 2 45-minute skirts of music or something like that with a 30-minute intermission or something. But that's typical. It's a cooperative there. You go after the fire department's fund or something like that. It's usually not a general funded thing for the most part. Inadvertently, it is, because the site that you're using is maintained with city funds, but that's how you balance that out. So that's usually how that happens. In particular to the Roosevelt Bowl, and I don't know why you in particular brought it up, but it's a great amenity.
I always think about the Redlands Bowl, and what a fantastic opportunity that is for we go every year, and we have that here, sitting here, not really utilized.
And why hasn't the city done it in the past would be a question mark, and we'd say because junior university's been in there for over 30 years, and now that they moved over to the Aquinas Theater, that's changed, and it's opened it up. But as a result of that, by the way, the facility has just been ransacked. It's just been... overtaken by mainly the homeless, and probably for the last year, every third week we're in there trying to do something, secure it up, take care of things that have been broken. It's, you know, pee and poop on the walls and things of that nature.
Would that be the best day?
Saturday or Sunday, just, you know.
As far as people going,
I would say a weekend would be.
Weekend.
Yeah.
And it's concerts only, it's not plays. Plays are in Aquinas now, is that what you're saying?
The Junior University.
Junior University moved out of there, so that's why you now have an amenity that's just...
So this would be a one-day concert, not plays, because plays you got to rehearse.
Right, it would be a series. Like, do you go to the Redlands Bowl at all?
Yeah.
So it's except for when they do the plays. It would be like that. You're just going to a one-time concert, and you go and just kind of hang out. now.
What day do they have it in Redlands?
They do theirs on well, it changes. It's usually on Friday night. But I was thinking in the daytime just because I think it would be more family friendly, and I don't know if it would be. There's kind of, I don't know.
it's like special event planning 101.
Safety issue.
Yeah. I think we should try.
It depends upon their men.
Weekend, weekday, the time, try all that and see what works.
Because
you want a lot of people there.
Yeah.
Cal State has it on Wednesdays, I think it is,
mm-hmm.
and they get a lot of people there. They advertise it.
Is it Wednesday evening?
I think it's Wednesday evenings.
My concern is the safety in that area. Cal State's a little bit more
right.
out. And
they got security.
They got security. Yeah, I was thinking in the daytime it might be a little safer. I'm not opposed to anything. I'm open for, it's not my thing. I just suggested it because I thought it would be a really neat thing for the city and for the
It's
community.
A nice place, too.
There's plenty of history of running events like that.
Mm-hmm.
We currently do movies in the park,
mm-hmm.
and we try and alternate that where we offer that movie. Instead of a central location like Redlands, because they're designed differently. It's a
right.
different kind of community.
Exactly.
A lot of ours are local drive kind. They walk or whatever it
mm-hmm.
is. So we place our movies in the park during the summertime when the weather's great. You're not dealing with that issue. And when you utilize the facility, you can lessen the issues of safety and security because people move on as
mm-hmm.
far as whatever the bad element might be.
Right.
And you're going to start seeing that transition right now. If you go there right now to Paris Hill, around the ceramics building or the swim center, or over the tennis courts and so forth, you're just getting groups of people. And as we start utilizing these things for the summer planning and program and so forth, they go away, if that's a nice thing to say. I don't mean
they
to.
They clear out.
I'm just saying, yeah, you know, you don't see their presence as much.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm wearing my hat as a good Christian, I think I speak some other way. Here
mm-hmm.
to protect the public property, so they are a nuisance, and they're vandals, and it's a different kind of a problem. But as it relates to special events, it would be typical for you to see around about town. Cal State does their concert series on Thursday evenings and their movie series on Wednesday evenings.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually well attended before school starts back in, so their September shows. In October, they actually go into that. Movies end in September. You know, concerts end. They're just 1 month of concerts. The movies go all the way into a couple weeks into September. Those are less attended when school's in effect. So it'd be the same for us.
Right.
We try and get everything in now in June and July. Why? Because San Bernardino City Unified goes right back into session the first or the second week of August.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it really affects the program,
mm-hmm.
especially with the use of the pools, which I'm going to do somewhere down the road here today.
When does the movie, I just saw it online, but I forgot that online. When does the movie in the park start for the Parks Department?
Don't know. I wasn't as prepared for that one because I don't plan those. We're starting the first Friday in June.
Usually it's like the first Friday in June right after it's open.
Is that for the baseball fields? Because we had one at Newmark. Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-mm.
So with
you had one there at one time. It was for a special concern
yeah.
or issue. But it's not one of the sites for our movies in the park. I don't remember why we did it that particular summer. I don't recall.
I think the league did it themselves.
I have a question. So for something like this, we're already in April. Would we need to start planning for next year's if we decided to do something?
Now, are you talking about the concert
yes.
that you're,
mm-hmm.
you'd be planning? Well, there's other issues. The amenity itself isn't ready to go.
Oh, right.
That's the major issue.
Oh, okay.
If you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're having a renter who wants to come in there and do a little talent show type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which would get our parks maintenance over there to clean up the basic grounds, but they can't use the building. Inside the building is changing rooms for men and women, as well as small restrooms on both sides, that kind of stuff, which have been thrashed. the outside doors, the windows are all boarded up, some holes in the walls, poop on the walls, all that kind of stuff. So they're going to have to set up a portable little, you know, canopy with things and so forth to do their show that they plan right on stage. You're going to have to use everything outside, and we're just trying to make sure that enough of that electrical is working right to where they can, you know, plug in and do stuff. Because the when Junior University left, we always had that annual, starting with Easter actually, because there was there's church groups that used to use that for that purpose. And now that they're gone, it's nice to replace it with something like what you're talking about, a concert series over the summer and things of that nature. It's just, you're right, at that circumstantial time where it's going to need to be put back into shape now. So
I wonder if there's grants for redoing theaters.
Jim's already got dollars for, you saw that we put the, which we've taken steps already to help protect some of that stuff. I don't know if you've seen that. I'm making that assumption because I have. There's now a wrought iron fence around that area. I'm assuming that he presented that to the Parks and Rec Commission. So that helps a lot. And then we're going to have to stay, you know, baby steps to get there to bring that amenity back into play. But that will help a lot. And it already has helped a lot. Except that it's moved them over towards the ceramics studio now. We have to worry about that. Where was I going with that? I forgot.
I think your whole point was that there's a lot of things that need to be done for the foundation, if even having anything there, because it's not really suited,
she's not ready to go
suited
yet
for anything right now.
But as far as planning goes, you would incorporate some those dollars in the previous fiscal year budget so you can plan for it appropriately.
Is there an association group, like Friends of the Roosevelt or something like that, I believe?
Yeah, I remember Jim talking about that.
Maybe we should.
But I think they dissolved.
There was, years ago, and probably almost a decade now. I was born at St. Bernardine's here in San Bernardino, raised in Rialto, my same house for 28 years, right up here in Vernomont. I've seen the whole place change and move and all that kind of stuff. And I've been with the city for 16 years, so this city, four other public agencies before this. So it was about a decade ago that the Friends of the Roosevelt Bowl dissolved. But that's a great question. I'm glad you asked that, because that's typically the way that you would get special attention, even if it's like an arts association for the neighborhood or something like that. Things of that nature is where it would be a great help. Because now we're starting to rely upon, and I don't believe that neighborhood association is that popular, and it should be, but there are others like Wildwood's Neighborhood Association is really popular. They're the ones that help support the Ho-Ho Parade, as well as that activity that's around Christmas time up there, and a couple of others. They're doing a breakfast luncheon the first week in June, and they raise lots of money that way. And to start doing programming for that neighborhood, so it's a great place to tie into when you're doing these kinds of events.
Paris Hill Association started up about a year ago. Sean Kelly is the president.
Okay, great.
Yeah, she's very motivated, and I've talked to her about this before, and she thought it was a great idea.
Maybe they can start taking it under their wing and adopting it and that kind of stuff, like Wildwood has done with that particular event and others. That's the approach.
Does anybody have anything they'd like to add to this? Okay. All right, then we move on to the agenda item request for future meetings. Roxana?
Nothing right now.
All right. Frank?
I have nothing.
Brenda?
No.
Nothing.
Okay. All righty. Mitch, it's.
I have no idea how this happened. Lisa?
Yes?
What's up? Jim said Juanita's supposed to be here and Lakeisha's supposed to be here. Do you know anything about that?
Lakeisha is on you. Juanita couldn't come because she has something else going on, so that's why she did send the flyer for the Cinco de Mayo.
Okay.
That's the only thing that she said that she can actually advertise at this point in time.
Okay.
I believe that they have almost everything already set up for that.
Mm-hmm.
But she wanted to make sure that you had the information and you could plan on attend and maybe bring some additional people with you.
Oh, absolutely. Awesome. Okay. So, Mitch, are you going to do the director report?
That's what these elements are.
Okay.
So the citywide events, as she mentioned, Cinco de Mayo's coming up, and that's what you have there.
Mm-hmm.
It's right here in Court Street Square, and I, as you would know, it's the focus is on that particular celebration. So you can see some entertainment. Are they still doing the art? Do you know?
The art showcase.
The art showcase, yeah, something like that during Cinco de Mayo. Do you know by any chance? We had that before in the past. I just don't know.
Oh,
there you go. Thank you very much. Right. And there is a car show. I'm just going off of what I saw last year when I was out there and so forth. There was a car show. It's really nice. It wasn't as well attended last year as I thought we would like to have seen.
There was two going on the same day. That's probably
what
the problem.
I think that's what took place. There was some competing event as well. But come on out and visit. It's nice that we're doing that for this community, because that's the cultural makeup of this community, 80% of it now, so 85%.
There's actually an event coming up this Saturday that was discussed at the last meeting. It's called Earth Vibes. It's for Earth Day. It's on the 20th at Brian Z. Haynes Park. From 1 to 5, yeah. It's this Saturday.
So it's in celebration of Earth Day.
Yes, so it's
which is
to
21st or something.
22nd. Yeah, it's to educate the community about how to save our Mother Earth, pretty much.
Got it.
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of local artists, local vendors. What else? I'm trying to think. I just had a brain fart. Yeah, I can't think right now. There's going to be a lot of local organizations put this together.
It would be nice to have, you know, we don't have to plan it, but we should be a part of that Parks and Recreation one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did come to talk to us about it.
Next year, Jim said he'd like to be more involved.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the timing was a little late in the game.
Got it. So, and senior services end of things, April. What's coming up in May?
Mother's Day.
The two senior centers have Mother's Day events, which are kind of nice too. They have different awards. They'll have snacks. They'll have music from a DJ and so forth. Both senior centers will cater to their local neighborhoods, for the most part, because seniors don't travel too far. They have nice little special events happening at those locations. You can expect about 100 seniors at each site typically get involved in that. Ollie McDonald Senior Talent Showcase ended in 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks? A weekend ago. They had great attendance. I don't know if anybody presented that to you beforehand,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, you missed out on some good entertainment. You'd be surprised at the senior age, even though you know you got 70-year-olds up there doing their thing and so forth. There's some pretty good talent, and there's a whole host of history, of entertainment history behind some of these local talents, by the way. It's just amazing that they still push what they push, whether it's singing or dancing or musician work and so forth. What's coming up for the seniors? Well, we're planning again for senior games, which takes a lot of foreplanning. So senior age athletes are encouraged to come on out, as well as we'd love to have more spectatorship. That kind of stuff, and encouraging the seniors to stay active as athletes in the physical sense of things, from bowling to swimming to tennis to softball, all that kind of stuff. There's a variety of competitions there, and that's in September, but the end of September, the first part of October. But it it takes all the planning right now to make all that stuff work. Because we're using a variety of venues in the Inland Empire to make that happen.
Mm.
But what I'm going to throw in here in lieu of that, before the projects update, is aquatics, okay? So we have six pool locations. One of them is Boys and Girls Club. There's three different things here. Oh, here. Thank you very much. The Boys and Girls Club run their own programming at the Boys and Girls Club pool, but that's a city-ran pool. I mean, a city-maintained pool. So the other pool locations will open based upon availability of lifeguarding staff, okay, life-saving staff. Jason Segersma has been with us 30 years now. He's a part-time rec supervisor that helps coordinate our programming for aquatics. 30 years now he's been doing it. He's an excellent customer service person. I want to give him a lot of credit. He has to manage over 50 staff. And right now what we need is we need to make sure that we have enough qualified lifeguards. There's a nationwide shortage. There has been for the last 5 to 8 years. Kids, college age students, whatever, they're hard to come by. Every other applicant for the position doesn't know how to swim. And that makes it hard. They've got all these competing things that technology has given to us nowadays, so it's really hard to make sure that we open pools with the right number of people, otherwise we close them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're out there saying to you as much as possible, if you have sons or daughters, if you have grandsons or granddaughters, if you have neighbors with high school age or 16 and older, college age, it's a great opportunity because the state of California has now raised its wage, the minimum wage up, and it continues to go up, and that kind of stuff, and it's, I think it's better than flipping hamburgers, although I don't have anything against McDonald's, but this is a great resume builder, and we get great people, and I encourage you to go out there and make sure that they, we also offer, we have a flyer there, training classes. We do that so that we can, after you're certified, you can go out and be a lifeguard in the state of California anywhere you want, but then we'll give you an application or tell you to go online and apply for the city of San Bernardino because we need those people. So we actually have qualified instructors through the American Red Cross, and we teach those classes. So if you know anybody who wants to get certified, it's a two-weekend type class. There's one coming up. There's a swim test before that one. And so I just want to say that's the main thing that we're working on to get our pools open this summer. We'll have June the 7th, and we'll bring it back to you as the Operation Splash kickoff event. And we do two things there. We push water safety. We work with First Five with the county. And then we get a grant that helps us fund. It's actually a contribution or a donation. Free swim classes that we'll promote at each of our pool locations, as well as a junior lifeguard program to help move them into getting more lifeguards and things of that nature. So June the 7th is called Operation Splash. It's at Terrace Hill Swim Center. I encourage all of you to come on out. That kicks off our season, our swim season. We have a narrow block before we all go back to school.
What
so,
time does that start?
Right around 10-ish. With a bunch of vendors out front. There's a ceremony that you would all be invited to. We'll get you something when we get closer to that event. That's right around 2:30. With the dignitaries and the recognition of the contribution from Kaiser, you know, big old check and presentation and their representatives coming on out because they give us anywhere between $20,000 and $40,000 each year.
What day is that, Mitch?
To help support that. June the 7th. So that's my plug there. If you, I don't want to waste any more of your time. I don't think that's a waste of time, but I said it that way. Projects update. I don't personally know about the splash pads, but I do. I was responsible for getting them in. They, when the bad economy hit us, we let them just sit around and fall apart and deteriorate, and then I tried to get the contractors paid. And my two cents in that way. But anyhow, I don't know about the renovation of them other than what Jim says, that the completion date was pushed back 2 weeks to probably near the end of June. So we should be able to see those pads renovated. And I don't know how much of a discussion he's given you before, but the real concern there was several issues that we didn't finish completing some of the work. Some of the work has deteriorated when we went into a 5, 6, 8 year drought process, which required us not to be able to run water. And so again, that stuff just went downhill. So when the renovation includes basically a seepage process. You could either recirculate that water, repurpose it like through tanks and send it out to irrigate, or in this case, to send it back to the water table instead of back to waste. So that's the goal for this, as well as several water efficiency type mechanisms, changing spray heads to be more of a mist rather than a flow, things like that. So it's all water saving issues. That's what's happening with our pads. I believe it's the three, Lyle Creek, Tom Minor, and Wildwood. Oh, fourth
and
one, over at Enchirrell's. The fourth one's at Enchirrell's. So that's an update on that. We should probably see that completed near the end of June. The reason for that purpose, if anyone wanted to ask, because there's certain materials that are on back order, and they're like a honeycomb type, big, huge containers that go in the ground that serve to like filter and things of that nature, so to speak, and make sure it gets into the water table. That kind of stuff is being manufactured, so that kind of pushed it back a little bit. They're called AquaBox. You're the one who looked that stuff up. Vernamont. I'm supposed to refer that to Juanita, who's not here, but Juanita's in charge of getting that going. I know that Erica from our office has been out there continuously taking things from the storage unit that was there temporarily to store the stuff that was in the old units. This is a temporary building. I suppose you all have been told that. I have no idea in not trying to badmouth the city, but temporary could mean anything. Okay? So I would hope that, being a resident myself of Vernamont, that we would have done that right and got the real funding it takes to put a community center up there. I'm going to give you my personal opinion right here in front of everybody and all that kind of stuff, because I am a resident there. We should build this and do it right and put a community center. Now that we have a box and a portable type thing, there's only so much you can do with that, to be real honest with you. But now it doesn't give us residents anything, because we used to be able to go down and say, we don't have a center serving us, or now you do. Oh, come on. So I'm really direct with you and out open, because I do live in that area, and I think this was a big mistake. However, we're doing the best we can in Parks and Recreation. We will program that. Erica's up there. We're actually battling with the money we need, because we're cutting back for other things that we already got going, but we're committed to the city manager to, because the community wants it, to have a full-time person up there trying to program what they can, but it's not much of an amenity to program. Just forewarn everybody. So somewhere down the road, we'll put some real money to it and put something real out there for that community. Anyhow, that's my 2 cents. And that's the update. There's one more item, I believe, the playground equipment at Spousey Park. April the 24th is the completion date. So any 2 weeks from now, 1 week from now, excuse me, 1 week from now, as you might all know, they're replacing the fire damaged playground equipment that was there. I'll assume that you brought it to bar for that, with that, the slide and the other play apparatus.
All right.
Now
we're on to the commission oral report. Roxana, do you have anything you'd like to report?
No, just about the Earth Vibes event this Saturday.
What time does that start?
It starts at 1 and ends at 5. Oh, and the first 100 people get free tacos.
Wow.
You should have split off.
I forgot. That was like, I got out of work. I'm just tired. But yes, So first 100 people get tacos. Don Ramon Tacos will be out there serving the first 100 people.
Okay, great.
I have nothing to do.
Yes.
No. There's also an event, Cinco de Mayo, at the Placita Park, another car show.
Mm-hmm.
It was brought to my attention. I don't know if this is a proper place to say it. There's cars parked in the way where some of the vendors, where they locate the vendors on 7th Street. There's a motorhome in the way, and there's some cars parked. I guess that person works on cars, and they leave them on the streets. Can we get those moved before that event somehow? Or talk to them and get them off the street?
I would tell you the best process to do that is if you come at it as a resident,
mm-hmm.
and you go visit, either call San Bernardino Direct or go online to the city's website and go through San Bernardino Direct. It's a CRM. You'd get more of a response. However, we'll write it down to pursue what we can pursue. I would probably send it to code enforcement.
Okay.
And I think that's what you're probably talking about.
Yeah, I call it all the time.
All right.
And they work.
Right.
Yes.
Are you part of that planning for that program?
No, I know the event. The car clubs are throwing it.
Because this is the official event that we're...
Yeah.
But if there's another one that's over there, I'd
so
imagine
the
they must
day.
Have applied for use of the park or something.
Yeah,
like
they generated all that, yeah.
And then at that point in time, whoever's coordinating that would be best for them to submit that service request.
And that number, and I can do it.
Yeah, to get code enforcement to investigate those particular vehicles. There might be something they're violating. I don't know. I'm just taking your word for it.
Okay.
All righty. I don't have anything to report, so
if you have the license
I'll adjourn the meeting. Can I get a motion to adjourn the meeting?
And you can call.
Okay, Rosanna, a
second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed? Okay. Meeting adjourned at 4:47.
Closing comment, you guys have one of these, right? The
yes,
refrigerator
yes.
magnets? Put that on a refrigerator. So every time you open the door, remember, drink water or unsweetened tea. Rethink your drink.
Or sparkling water.
That's what we push. Rethink your drink. Or something like that. Get rid of those sugars, okay?